By the help of the Lord, in your prayers, I want to talk about something very old. We tend not to celebrate this time of year as the world celebrates it. But no doubt, I would think it's been on your minds for the last few days, for a little while, thinking about the Christmas season. Don't always have a message that pertains to the season that we're in, but it seems like the Lord really has impressed me this way today. I think about the power that's in the Christmas story. It's a powerful story. But the beauty of it is, it's not just a story, but it's something that lives within each and every one of our hearts. We can actually live this, and we can have it living within us, because it was all done through the Holy Spirit and ordained by God Himself. For the last 40 some years, I don't remember now exactly when we started, when our children were little, before we would let them open their presents, we would always read a scripture. And I would like for us together to read the scripture this morning. It's very beautiful. We probably don't spend time reading it in our daily devotions too much. But I believe the Lord wants us to be reminded, in light of the, shall I say, possibility, in light of the coming of Jesus Christ back to this world again, and what it really is going to mean to eternal souls when He comes again, I think it would be good for us to remember what it really meant to us for Him to come the first time. Like for us to turn in our Bibles in the second chapter of Luke. I feel like that this is the Christmas story. I'd like to read it together and maybe comment on it a little. Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone unto his own city. This was a type of accountability. They were counting the people that was in their cities, in their country. And it was, what do we call it today? Census. They were taking the census. And this is what this is all about. And it says, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now I want to take us back to the very beginning for just a moment. Before the world was created, before God created the world as you and I know it, before he created the animals and everything that he put in it, before he created you and I, there was no time. There was no time. When God created the world, he created time. The scripture tells us in Isaiah 57 and 15 that God inhabits eternity. God doesn't live in time. He's not bound by time. But nevertheless, when God in his wisdom created the world and created everything that was in it, and especially you and I, his greatest creation, he also created time, because there never was time until then, when he set it all into place. But in his wisdom and in his love for you and in his love for me, he also ordained before the foundation of the world, the scripture says, that he would give his son, that his son would come to this world and he would die for mankind, a sacrifice. It is amazing to me when I think about, when I look at the whole picture and think of the story, the Christmas story, all of the prophecies, all the things that God put in his word, all the prophets that went forth and proclaimed that the Messiah was truly coming someday. All those things, even how he was to come, even where he was to come, it all fell into place, didn't it? Because God ordained it all. And God, at the beginning of time, ordained in his wisdom and understanding that he would make it possible for you and I, even after we fell into sin, he would make it possible for you and I to have eternal life. With God, it's all about eternity, folks. It's all about eternity. He give us time in this life. One of the old the writers in Ecclesiastes, he calls it basically fruitless as we live in this world. He calls it vanity. He calls it a lot of different things. But God give us time. He give us an opportunity to live, to enjoy life, to enjoy the blessings that he bestows upon us. God give us all of that. But it's really eternity what God is interested in. It's the eternal things of our souls. When I look at the story here, as we've read, I notice some things that happened in this time. First of all, before even Jesus was born, God sent an angel to Zacharias. He told Zacharias that he and his wife was going to have a son, going to have a child. And that was John the Baptist. Zacharias and his wife was well beyond age. And Zacharias said, how can this thing be that we are both well stricken in age? The angel said it would be so. When it come time for the birth of Jesus Christ, an angel appeared, didn't he? He appeared unto Joseph, and he told Joseph not to fear to take her to wife, because she is going to bear a child, and his name, he'll be a savior of the world. And his name shall be called Jesus. The angel declared those things. When I think of God, the things that are important to him, the things that really have eternal meaning to God, it seems that many times he has manifested his burden to mankind through angels. He's done it many times through angels. Back in the olden time, you can read many stories where God sent angels to do whatever he did. He sent an angel into the lion's den to close the lion's mouth. He sent an angel into the fiery furnace to be with the three Hebrew children. When God wanted to express a burden to mankind, he does it many times through angels. I don't know. Maybe some of you have experienced it. But I remember one time I had a vision that the Lord gave me. It was very real. I heard him talking to me and I could see a form. Couldn't describe it to you, but I could see it very plainly. It was in the middle of the night. But God expressed a burden. It's when he called me into the ministry. He doesn't do that for everyone, but he did it for me. And it's something I shall never forget. But God expresses a burden. And God was about to bring his son into the world, which is the greatest thing that ever happened in this world, is when his son came here, manifested as a child, growing up to be a man and bringing the gospel, the good news that he brought to a lost and a dying world. The hope that he brought, the joy that he brought, the peace that he brought, the deliverance that he brought, the changing of people's lives, turning people around, going the direction that they were going, down a downward path, and turning them around and putting them on the right path and preparing them for eternity, for heaven. It's powerful. It's a powerful story. It's a glorious story. It's a story that's made a difference in each and every one of our lives here this morning. Because Jesus came into the world. And here we have in our story here this morning, when Jesus was, after Jesus had been born, God sent another angel, didn't he? He sent an angel to the shepherds. The shepherds saw the angel, and the angel spoke to them, told them not to be afraid, but he told them that there was a Savior. Christ the child was born. And he sent them the direction to go see them. Angels were very involved in the birth of Jesus Christ through the whole thing. Notice what it says here. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, verse 7, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Sounds like that the place was pretty full up. They were pretty busy. Everybody had come to be taxed. Everybody had come to give the census, to get the census. And the place was very full and it was very busy. You know, things haven't really changed a whole lot, has it? People are really busy today. People are so full of things to do. I had someone testify to me one time that they told the Lord they were going to live for him and they never did give their heart to them until they got so afflicted upon their bodies, then they got the message they need to do something about the condition of her soul. And they said they were just so busy until they realized they were busy doing nothing. That's what people are doing today. You get out there on those streets, you get out there on those highways, they're going here and there. Zip, zip, zip. All over the place. People are here and there. Nobody seems to stay home anymore. People got something to do, places to go, things, sights to see, and all these kind of things. They're so busy. They're busy running away from this little baby here. He's not a baby now. But they're busy running away from what God gave you and I for eternity, for our eternal existence. You are going to have an eternal existence, every one of us. We're going to live forever somewhere. The soul will live forever. But I thank the Lord. You know, Jesus, the Bible says, was with God when he created all things. He was with him. He was there at the beginning. I love that passage in Job where God spoke to Job and said, where were you when I did this and where were you when I did that? God did it all in his wisdom, in his own time, in his own way, and it's perfect and it's beautiful and it still works today. The plan of salvation that was instituted on this day over 2,000 years ago when this young child came into this world and it was instituted for mankind still works today, still has the power today to deliver men and women. Still has the power to save a soul, to change a life. We don't have any grace to give anyone. We don't have any salvation to give anyone. The song was called a while ago, salvation is the sweetest thing. Folks, it is the best thing that I've ever found in this world, is salvation. It's truly the one thing that makes a difference in all of our lives, is salvation. And I thank God for it today. Her son was wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know, as an aside here, for years, for most of my understanding of this, I always thought that swaddling clothes meant they didn't have a lot of money. And so it was kind of like hand-me-downs, and they just put on something to cover the baby as best they could. Do you know, I found and I discovered that in searching out some of these things, swaddling means to wrap. If you look that up in the dictionary, it means to wrap. My understanding is from searching some of this out that if you didn't swaddle a child, that you swaddled the child in order that the child as it grew would become strong and its legs would be strengthened. And if you didn't swaddle a child, it was called cruelty. Not to swaddle a child. Did you know that? Just a little aside. The babe was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, in a feed trough. Now, we know that Jesus is the King of glory, don't we? Whoever heard of a king being born and laid in a feed trough? He couldn't have come any more humbler way than I know of. He couldn't have come in any more way, any more simple way. He didn't come lifted up. He didn't come exalted. He wasn't born in a king's house. He wasn't eating at a king's table, but he was the King of glory that came into this world for you and I. What the power of this Christmas story is overwhelming. It's overwhelming to me, folks. And I thank God for it today. It's made all the difference in my life. During the day I was kind of praying and thinking about things and I said, Lord, it's amazing how you changed my life and turned my life around. How you got me out of the mullygrubs of sin, out of the gutter, going all the way, bound by habits and by sin and by Satan. How you took all of that away and turned it around and gave me what I'm enjoying today. How can I ever repay you? The only thing I know to do, folks, is to live for him the rest of my life. It's the only way I know how to repay him for what he's done for us. I was thinking as I was dwelling on some thoughts of the message this morning, I don't have doctrine to give you that today. We're not talking about doctrine. But we're talking about the greatest story that was ever told. The greatest thing that ever happened to our world. And the amazing thing is, this little babe grew up to become a man, didn't he? And he went around and he traveled here and there. He went a lot of different places. He healed a lot of sick. He healed a lot of afflicted. I was reading over there in Matthew, the 4th chapter, where it said, he even healed the lunatics. The crazy people. See, God has power over all his creation. He has power over it all. And when it gets messed up, he can make it again. He can create it again through his great power, through his love, mercy, and compassion that he has for mankind. This is a great story. We need to be reminded of it once in a while, how beautiful the story really is. What did God do with his son? You know, before Jesus ever came into the world as a babe, he made the stars and the galaxy. God dwells not only in the earth, folks. He dwells in the void of space. He sees it all. He's there. The presence of God is in all that exists. The scripture says, by Christ, by him, all things consist. He's in it all. He sees it all. He sees the galaxy. He sees the dark holes. He made them. And yet we marvel sometimes at the things that we see, the things that happen. And when this little child came into the world, the angels proclaiming it and giving glory to God. I like that one verse. Where is that verse? Where it says, and verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Folks, there was never a greater happening than this day on this earth. There was never a greater happening. And the heavenly host was with them, praising God. Shouldn't we surely be praising God today for his precious son? Our life is in his son, folks. Jesus came to, as a daysman between us and God. Jesus came to reveal the Father to you and I. It is because Jesus came into the world that you and I can know the Father today. It's because of Jesus Christ that we can understand this Father as much as we can understand him. His ways are higher than ours and his thoughts than ours. But folks, God has revealed himself to us through his Son. And he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. God set the whole plan of salvation. He set the whole plan of salvation in place and placed the burden or the responsibility on his son, didn't he? Jesus, being in agony, went up into the mountains and prayed and got real close to the heavenly Father. He placed the burden, the responsibility. It was all on his son that came into the world. But first he came into the world. Folks, his coming into the world helps us to be able to identify a little bit with God. You see, God the Father, he's never been here in the flesh. But his son's been here in the flesh. And his son is the one that's making intercession for you and I, isn't he? When we pray every day, when we bring our burdens to him, when we bring our deepest and greatest distresses unto the Lord, he says, Dad, if I could paraphrase it, I've been there. Father, I know what they're going through. I know how it feels. Give them some comfort. Give them some grace. Give them some aid, because I've been there. And in that old flesh, the weakness of that sinful flesh that they're in, Father, they need all the help that you can give them. I know what they're going through. I felt that. I was beaten and I was punished and I was abused and I was mocked and I was made fun of. And I was threatened. My life was threatened. He went through all those things for you and I. And now he can say, Father, you see their hearts. They're pouring their heart out to you. Father, you see the tears. Won't you be touched? Won't you have compassion? Won't you have mercy? Folks, this would never happen if it hadn't been for this day. None of these things would ever happen if it hadn't been for this day. This wonderful day of all days. And I thank God for it. His birth was fulfilled through the prophecy. He was prophesied just how it was going to be. When and how he was going to come, and he did it. It happened just like the Bible tells us it was going to happen. Now I want to begin reading again in this same chapter. Verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up him in his arms and blessed God. I want to point out something very important here, folks. You and I live in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest of all days, the best dispensation of all time. You and I live in a time, folks, and it was all manifested right here on the day of Christ's birth. The heavenly hosts, the angels praising God, and now we have the Holy Spirit, don't we? Now he mentions the Holy Spirit was working with this man Simeon. Let's read it again. The man Simeon in Jerusalem was just and devout and waiting to see the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen Christ, the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child to do for him after the custom of the law, it was the Holy Spirit. Get a hold of this. It was the Holy Spirit that had him in the place that he needed to be to see the consolation of Israel. Folks, you and I depend. I hope we realize we're dependent on the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and keep us in the place that God can use us and bless us and that we can be fruitful for him. The Holy Spirit did that. He was there because the Holy Spirit had him there. And because he was just and he was devout and he loved the Lord and he had heard of the coming of the Christ and he wanted to see this. And then he said, Lord, verse 29, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What else is there? What else is there to see, folks? When we've seen the salvation of the Lord, we've seen the Holy One of God, the Deliverer. He was a child then, but he had seen him. And there's nothing else to see. He's the fulfillment of my desire, the fulfillment of my heart, the fulfillment of my life. Now, Lord, you can let me depart in peace. Oh, isn't that powerful, folks? Isn't that wonderful? It is to me. It really has a deep meaning to me. been reading this chapter to my children and now to my grandchildren for many years. My oldest grandchild's 24. He's heard it a few times. Quite a few times in his years. But folks, the world doesn't understand the power of this wonderful event. The power of this young child coming into the world to change the hearts of men and women. He came to seek and to save the lost. People run from him today. People avoid him today. They get their hearts hardened against him today. They seek for everything and anything they can find except the one that came to bring them joy and peace and happiness. Folks, I did a lot of things when I was out in this world. I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. The world's got fun in it, but doesn't have any real joy. And there is no peace. Because the next day it was the same thing over again. But folks, this is the Prince of Peace. The everlasting. Everlasting peace. Everlasting joy. Oh folks, it's wonderful today. And I just want to take this little moment of time this morning, in our little setting here, to be reminded, folks, what it really means, what it really meant for Jesus to come into this world, the advent or the coming of Jesus Christ. But now Simeon went on to say some things. He said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Right there. Right there. Through the Holy Spirit, this man about to die, about to leave this world, before Jesus ever even began to minister in his ministry, he prophesied then, a light to lighten the Gentiles. And all men, he came to his own, the scripture says, and his own received him not. And this man prophesied, it was for all men, for all time. This little baby here, that Simeon laid his eyes on, he realized what it meant. And it was taken to the Gentiles, wasn't it? It surely was taken to you, and it was taken to me. Folks, best day in my life was the day that I went to that altar and gave my heart to the Lord. The wisest thing I ever did, with all the trials, all the burdens, all the heartaches, all the sorrows, all the pain, all the suffering, all the sickness, all the affliction, folks, those don't mean nothing compared to the eternal way to glory. You put all that on the scale over here and you put the eternal weight of glory over here and they cannot even balance out. Glory's waiting, saints. Glory is waiting. A peace beyond the world's understanding. A peace beyond our understanding. A glory forever and ever and ever. I was thinking on the way to service today. Down in the Holly Hill they sing a song where we'll never grow old. And I thought, well, how old are we going to be when we get there then? Whatever, how old I'm going to be when I get there, I guess that's how old I'm going to be forever. God take care of all that. I had someone message me not all that long ago asking me some questions. And I sent them back. I said, here, I'll give you my best answer. The Bible says don't pay any attention to all these useless genealogies and all these things that people are worried about. The Bible don't even speak about. I said, just commit all that to the Lord. He's given us enough in his eternal plan of salvation. That's all we need to be concerned about. Because none of those things don't matter. Folks, they don't matter. They don't matter. It's what I have in my heart. It's what's down in my soul. It's how it is in my relationship with God today. That's how it is. That's what it really means to me. It's worth all the sacrifices to me that we have to make. It's worth all that we have to go through and what we have to deal with to be able to enjoy the plan of salvation. Oh, the power of the Christmas story means so much to me. Then he went on to say, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. They didn't really understand. They had both been visited by the angel. No, they'd both been told by the angel what was happening to them, but they did not understand the fullness of it all. How to come? Simeon understood the fullness of it all. Folks, the Holy Spirit had him in the place where God wanted him to be to reveal these things unto his Jesus mom and dad, unto those that were around him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Folks, I think we know this, but I want to reiterate it for our edification. He came to bring deliverance, to bring hope, but he also brought division and anguish. He brought division and anguish. He said he did. He brought both redemption and he brought judgment to this world, didn't he? They're all bound up in his coming. He brought those things into the world. Folks, you just look at your own family and you'll see the division right there. You'll see it. When you try to talk to someone that hasn't been born again, when you try to explain them what the plan of salvation really means, they don't understand. They don't understand. His whole coming into the world, while it brought deliverance and hope and peace and joy, also brought division and anguish in the hearts of men and women today. Surely did. Redemption and judgment are bound up in his coming. I thank God for this beautiful, perfect plan. What a perfect plan. Could you improve on it? We couldn't improve on it if we lived until the Lord came back. It's beautiful. It's perfect. It works to perfection. And it keeps us every day, whatever you're going through, because we know Jesus is on the throne, because we know he's looking down in love, because we know he's compassionate, because we know he's merciful. We can take heart. We take heart. We can take courage in knowing that Jesus has it all in his control. Oh, thank God for Jesus today. Simeon said something else to Mary. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Mary didn't have a clue. Almost reminds me, maybe a pitiful explanation of it, but a comparison. It almost reminds me of the day I stood before the man and my wife and said, I do. I didn't have a clue what I do meant. Didn't have a clue what I do meant. When you got married, folks, you were just in love. Mary, you had a little baby. Mothers, how did you feel when your children were little babies? They were adorable, weren't they? They were precious, weren't they? They meant everything to you, didn't they? They made a mother's love swell up from within. Don't you think that's how Mary felt about her own son? I think her heart just swelled up, and I don't know what all that went through her mind, but God had already told her she was special, and she was going to carry her son and bring him forth into this world. How did it feel bringing God into the world? I don't know. But Jesus stayed humble and he became obedient unto his mom and dad. The Bible says that. Unto his parents. But he said, Mary, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Surely that day came, didn't it? That day when she stood at the foot of the cross and saw her son hanging up there for all the world to see, between heaven and earth on two pieces of wood nailed to a cross. You think a sword didn't pierce through her heart? Do you think she fully understood it all? But the man said, the Holy Spirit said here, he said that the thoughts of many hearts, folks, she had to go through that sorrow. She had to go through that suffering in order for the world to realize there was a Redeemer. There was a Savior that died for them, that gave his life, shed his blood. A sword shall pierce through thine own heart also. Now I'm old enough, and some of you are too, to have children that have grown up and become men and women. And folks, have they pierced your heart? Have they pierced your heart? Have you had a sword go through your own heart because of your own children? The ones that you loved, the ones that you raised, the one that you doted on, the ones that was so precious and so important to you, and are still important to us. But they've certainly thrust in the sword, haven't they? They've hurt us. They've broken our hearts. It happened to Mary. It happened to Mary and Joseph. And it's happening to us today. May God help us, folks, to be faithful, to be true. Those rebellious children that are out there doing their thing and taking their own way and on a path to destruction, all we can do, folks, is beg God for mercy. Beg God to love them. Lord, you see the sword that's piercing our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'll have mercy on the saints' children and families and loved ones that are out of the ark of safety. This is the real power, folks, of the Christmas story. Because he came, we can do this. We can get saved. We can stay saved. And we can pray for our children to be saved. Because he came. Because he came. It's an old story. I realize that. But it's so precious. It's the greatest story in the Bible. We can get up here from time to time, week to week, and we can bring out this message and we can bring out that message. This is the message, folks. This is the message, not because it's Christmas, but this is the message to a lost and a dying world. That God sent his son. This is the way he did it. This is the way he did it. His son was born into the world, born of the Holy Ghost. He sent his son into the world to make the blind to see, didn't he? He made the blind see. He made the deaf to hear again. His sacrifice set people free. Because God accepted that sacrifice that he paid on the cross for you and I. Oh, I praise God for what Jesus did in coming to this world. He left glory, folks. We can't even imagine the glory that he had when he was with the Father. He said he had it in the 17th chapter of John. He wants you and I to see the glory that he had with the Father. Don't you want to see that glory? I want to see that glory. I don't know what heaven's going to really be like, but I'll tell you one thing. I don't think amazing is going to describe it. I don't think amazing is going to describe it. If God gave us all this beauty and everything that he created in this world, what do you think he saved for the last? Lord, help us. In this little message this morning, I want you to be more determined. I want you to have more courage, more faith, more grace. Go on, folks. No matter what anybody else does, no matter where people go, if people leave and there's two or three of you here in this building to have a little service and worship God, you got the promise. You got the promise that he'll be here in the midst. Got to hold on, folks, and got to be faithful. Let's turn Isaiah, the 9th chapter, familiar. But I'd like to read it together. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This is a prophecy, isn't it? It's talking about Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. And folks, it was fulfilled on that day that we just read about. Unto us a child is born, unto us a child, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. Folks, the government's on his shoulder. He carries the church on his shoulder. We are the church. We are to proclaim forth not the government in Washington, D.C., but the government of the Lord Jesus Christ, proclaiming to a lost and a dying world the value, the beauty, the hope that his son has brought to them. Someone said in my home last night, and they said, you know, they work with the public. They said, sometimes it's so hard to know what to say to people. Had someone the other day, I told them Merry Christmas. And they started getting on them because everybody didn't believe in that. Folks, I told them, I said, send them to me. I'm not worried about their feelings, folks. I'm not interested in their feelings. I'm interested in their souls. How are they going to hear without a preacher? I'm interested. I said, send them to me. I'll tell them very gently, Jesus Christ came into this world, whether you believe it or not. He came and died for your sins, for your soul, whether you believe it or not. And you will know someday at the judgment that what I'm telling you is the truth. You can take offense if you want to. You can call the police if you want to. But I'm here to proclaim to you Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I'm going to say Merry Christmas. Just as long as I have breath to say it. By the grace of God. They said, you don't understand. You're not working out there with the public. I said, you don't understand how important this thing is to me. You don't understand, obviously, how important Jesus Christ is to this world, even to the naysayers, mockers, and the scoffers of our day. Peter said these times would come when there would be scoffers and mockers. But he also talked about a destruction, didn't he? He went on to say in 2 Peter 2, the second chapter, he said the elements will burn up with fervent heat, and the earth will burn up with fervent heat, and the elements will pass away. Does that sound like a fairy tale to you? Maybe it does, but it isn't to me. People are scoffing. They can try to change it all they want, but they're not going to change me. Because this story means too much to me. It's too valuable. It's real. It doesn't end with, and they shall live happily ever after. It doesn't end that way. Jesus' life didn't end that way. He was crucified. a blessed Savior for you and I. People are living in this Disney world, Disneyland, fairy tale world today, and they think that everything's got to just be fun and games and everything's going to be just perfect. And when they grow up and get out in the world, they find out it's not perfect. They find out this world's a hard taskmaster, folks. Sin is a hard taskmaster, isn't it? It's a hard taskmaster. I can account for it. I can account, I can attest for it. It's a hard taskmaster. How can we sit by and let them believe and they lived happily ever after? Show me a family today of any size that's not a dysfunctional family. Show me one. Tell me about one that's not dysfunctional. These over here got their divorces. These over here got their problems. These over here are drunk. These over here are abusing companions and abusing children. These over here doing all these kind of things. Show me a family that's not a dysfunctional family today. And I'll show you a family that is not taking advantage of the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I'll show you a family that's missed it. That's struggling against themselves and struggling against their own souls, against sin. I'll show you a family struggling, but it don't have to be that way. It don't have to be that way. You know, I don't know if I'll use this in a message sometime for long, but I tell you, this verse of scripture has been on my mind so much. It's found Proverbs, I believe, 29:1. And he said, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. Folks, this little story here, if you'll get it in your hearts, it'll help you realize who God is. And that God says what He means, and He means what He says. And He is just the very one that can back up everything He says. No man can turn it. No man can change it, folks. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. Folks, I tremble this morning to think of the times in the last 30 years that I've been in meetings when others have preached the gospel, when I have preached the gospel to sinners. And I've seen them sit there and sit there and sit there. Some come to the Lord and others get harder and harder and harder. That's a dangerous thing to do with your soul before a living God. His government and His peace, there'll be no end. God's eternal. It's eternal, see? There's not even any end to it when I leave this whole world and go on to my glory. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God will perform it, folks. Don't you worry how God's going to do things at the judgment. I've had people say to me, you probably have too, how's God going to do all these billions of people that have lived down through time, how's He going to do it? Folks, don't worry about God. He said He's going to do it, He's going to do it. Someone asked me recently, how do I feel about being cremated? I said, I don't see anything in the Word of God that I know of against it. But I said, I can tell you this, no matter if we're cremated, eaten by sharks, or no matter what happens to this old body, at the resurrection day, God's going to bring everyone out of those graves, folks. the watery graves and all. This is an almighty God. He said his name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's almighty God. How do you see God in your trials and in your tests and your afflictions? He's going to do it someday. I don't know how he's going to do it. Don't ask me how. God said he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And I believe it. And I know it. Because God said it. Oh, folks. He has established, and it's amazing. He has established an everlasting kingdom already upon this earth in the hearts of men and women, and there's still people that are so blinded that they believe he's coming back to set up his kingdom here on earth, and he's already done it. He's only got one kingdom to give, folks. He set it up in our hearts through his Son. This glorious day. When this little Christ child came into the world and began this whole process of bringing about a plan for you and I of salvation. He is the Father, he says, the everlasting Father. He's the eternal God. It's eternity God's interested in. It's eternity God is going to bring every one of us to. Is eternity someday. It's eternity. God, through his Son, he brought the Creator and the man together. He brought us together with God. I am so thankful for that. We can identify now with God through his Son. You want anything from God, you go through his Son. We get it through his Son, Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful for it. And I think I have to say one last thing here before I stop. Folks, I appreciate him coming. I really do. It means the whole world to me, my eternal soul. But I thank him for his resurrection. I thank him for being willing to go the last mile. All the way for you and I. Father, it's not my will. I'm in the flesh. Father God, you don't understand me because you're not in the flesh, but I'm in the flesh. It's not my will, but nevertheless, put my will off to the side. I want your will to be done. May the Lord help us today that his will would be done in each and every one of us. Yes. His resurrection, folk, is the one thing that was the turning point of history. It was the turning point of our history. It's resurrection that we have hope. We have a hope of some. The Bible says he was the first fruits of our resurrection. And through that, he has brought us hope. And joy and peace through his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. I say to all of you today, may his peace and his joy and the hope that he brings bless everyone that is looking to him. May it all bless you today, folks. May you take courage. In the mundane Mondays, in the mundane Tuesdays, in the workaday Wednesdays, and the Thursdays, and the Fridays, and the Saturdays, may he keep your heart in peace, with joy, with comfort, with grace. As the old saying is, wise men still seek him. Lord, help us to be wise and continuing in the life-giving hope of Jesus Christ. He is the life-giving hope to every one of us. I thank the Lord today for the beautiful story that means so much to me. It means enough to me that I'm, by the grace of God, intend to give my life for it, just like Jesus gave his. My life won't save anybody, but his will. He paid the atonement for each and every one of mankind. Lord, help us all to be faithful. Help us all to realize and recognize what really this glorious day really means to eternity for our souls. You pray for me that I'll be faithful. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you.